Chapter 11.
They're going to torture that creature, aren't they?
Saren gasped telepathically as we all watched the goblins dancing around the trapped beast. Not if we can help it, they won't, I whispered aloud before I turned to Ashanti. If any of those bastards go in for a killing blow, take them out. Got it?
I'd be more than happy to.
Ashanti's eyes narrowed as she watched the scene unfurl.
Creatures who kill for pleasure are the slime of this world.
The Chero woman drew her bow from her shoulder, whipped out an arrow, and knocked it onto the string. She then took aim at the crowd of goblins, though she practiced excellent archery discipline as she stood as rigid as a statue. Everybody else, try to be more discreet. There's no telling what sort of hidden weapons or chemicals these guys could have in their belts, and I, for one, don't really want to find out firsthand.
Oh, stealth kills. Those are always my favorite. I bet I can create more gore than you, Lazan.
Oh, a challenge, then.
Lazan smirked.
Watch this.
The two Kunag women darted off in opposite directions, both with the agility and stealth of a freaking ninja. We all watched as they came to the large maroon conifers, scurried up them in a flash, and then climbed out onto the branches above where the goblins stood. Meanwhile, Batari and Mira accompanied each other to the left of the scene, where they both ducked down and waited in the foliage of the forest.
I'm coming with you, Dad,
Mirella whispered.
Me too,
Kaelan added, which just about made my eyes roll and sighed. Tyrion and Saren, I asked the dragons via the dragon bond, do you think you can get a shot off without hurting the creature?
I am not even sure if my fire breath has returned completely,
Tyrion huffed.
That will not be a problem. Dad has been teaching me how to sharpshoot lately, and I think I'm good enough now to knock the wings off a fly.
Let's hope you're right. I nodded to the purple water dragon. Just wait for my signal to attack. Mirella, Kaelan, and I all snuck around to the other side of the goblins and got into position. But these guys must have been completely fucking oblivious to what had happened earlier, because they seemed to be completely focused on the creature and nothing else.
A living, breathing slaughter tooth,
one of the goblins declared.
I never thought I'd live to see the day we have one of these in our possession.
If you're not careful, you won't be living much longer,
another gray-skinned fucker spat.
Now get its teeth, and then we can see if there's anything else worth taking from him.
With pleasure,
the first goblin cackled, and then he stepped toward the creature. The Slaughtertooth tried to back away from the approaching goblin, but a couple of the gangly bastards behind him slammed their boots into his rear. The Slaughtertooth let out a scared yelp as it jumped forward, and now it was only a few feet from its tormentor. This time, the creature decided to try a different approach. It unleashed a snarl and snapped at the goblin, who simply took a quick jump back and let the rope of the snare go taut.
Easy there, fella,
the pointy-eared bastard giggled.
Don't make me do this the hard way.
The goblin let out a sharp whistle, and three of his friends quickly stepped forward and grabbed onto the end of the snare trap. They gave it a harsh yank, and the poor Slaughtertooth was pulled to the ground and dragged backward as it whimpered and snarled with confusion. These motherfuckers. Watching the way the goblins interacted with this poor trapped animal made me lose any sympathy I may have had about how the orcs treated them.
Kaelan, another goblin called out. We don't got all day. Cut out its teeth and get it over with.
An evil grin crept up the face of the first goblin as he stepped toward the fallen beast. He went down onto one knee, tightened his grip on his knife, and leaned toward the deadly creature. That's when Ashanti's arrow struck him. The branches of the maroon trees seemed to whistle as the arrow passed by them, and then there was a meaty schluck as its point stabbed right into the goblin's hand.
Yeah!
He screamed as he fell down onto his hands and knees, and then his eyes went wide with fear. Without so much as a warning growl, the Slaughtertooth lunged forward, opened its jaws wide, and bit down right into the fucker's shoulder. The goblin screamed as the Slaughtertooth chomped down even harder and crushed his bones with a sickly crunch. Blood gushed from the goblin's wound as the creature released its bite, and then the goblin's entire body began to tremble and shake violently. Greenish-white foam began to ooze out of his mouth by the gallon as he fell to the ground, convulsed, and made a gut-wrenching choking noise. Within a few seconds, the goblin went limp. Well, shit. Now I definitely understood why these guys wanted the Slaughtertooth's teeth. This thing was venomous to the max. Oh, definitely avoid that creature's bite, I warned Mirella and Kaelan.
Yeah, Dad. I kind of figured that out.
Where did that come from?
one of the goblins demanded, as they all turned in the direction of Ashanti's arrow. Whoever's out there better show themselves now. You heard them? I whispered to everyone who could hear me telepathically. Nadir's shrill battle cry rang through the air as she and Lazan dropped down from above. Nadir had her stone axe lifted above her head as she fell, and she brought the flat edge down onto a goblin's skull. There was a wet crack as her weapon popped open his noggin like a ripe watermelon, and bits of his brain fell through his nose as he stumbled backward in shock. Before the bastard could even comprehend what was going on, Nadir twirled around, brought her axe up into the side of his neck, and lopped his head clean off his shoulders. Lazan's kill was a bit more complicated, but all the more brutal. The ring-tailed kunag landed on the ground, spun around, and slammed her axe into one of the goblin's legs. He screamed as his fibula and tibia were snapped in two and stabbed through his skin. But Lazan didn't let him go to his knees. Instead, she sunk the claws of her left hand into the fucker's bald head, pushed it backward, and bit into his throat like a vampire. A gallon of blood sprayed out onto the raccoon woman when she pulled away and ripped open his larynx. And all the goblin could do was gurgle as he collapsed to the ground.
"It's an ambush!"
another goblin declared.
Sound the alarm, Herm!
A particularly fat goblin fumbled around with the horn in his belt as he sweated profusely. He finally pulled it free of its hook and lifted it to his lips. But that was as far as he got. Batari jumped out behind the fat goblin and let out a forceful cry as she stabbed her spear sword through his back. The weapon burst out through his chest, and he let out a weak, soft toot on his horn as his eyes rolled back into his head while he went limp. Batari tossed him to the side and then set her sight on the next goblin, right as Mira sprang forth from her hiding spot. The golden-scaled dragonkin did a half-cartwheel across the battlefield, and then used her momentum to windmill kick one of the goblins to the ground. His dagger went flying from his hands, and before he could even recompose himself, Mira's spear went right through his left eye. The fucker's eyeball popped loose from his skull as Mira pulled out her weapon, but she simply wiped it off on the ground before she took aim at her next opponent. This time, all of the spindrel women seemed to attack differently. Valea and Pei charged forward, whilst spinning their double-sided spears like a propeller in front of them. I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be a confusion tactic or simply one of defense, but it worked like a charm. Two of the goblins tried to lash out and stab the hedgehog women, but instead they simply yelped as their blades were knocked away. Both of the gray-skinned bastards tried to recover with an uppercut, but the two spindrel were more than ready for them. Pei leaned to the left and stabbed one end of her weapon into the goblin's foot, and the point went into his flesh like steel through wet cardboard. Then the silver-haired beauty elbowed her opponent in the face, pulled her spear out of his foot, and brought it upward. The point slashed across the front of the goblin's face, which caused him to scream in agony as his head was tossed backward. In one swift motion, the Magnus Dew reversed her momentum and brought the spear point right down into her opponent's chest, and his eyes rolled back into his head instantly. Valea, on the other hand, simply used her own momentum to twirl around, and then she took out her enemy's feet with the hilt of her weapon. As the goblin fell down onto his ass, Valea spun her weapon in her hands, raised it above her head, and then stabbed it down into his forehead with a violent schluck. Shala took no prisoners with her fighting style. She let out a scream of frustration as she charged at the nearest goblin, held her staff with both hands, and then thrust the hilt up into her target's face. Blood sprayed from his freshly broken nose as he stumbled backward, and then Shala proceeded to slash the fucker's throat with her spear point. The dark-haired hedgehog woman watched with glee, glinting in her eyes, as the goblin bled out before her, and she kicked his lifeless corpse to the side before she moved on to the next one. Ura and Errol fought as one entity as they locked arms and used each other's bodies to spin, twirl, and flip like world-class figure-skating partners. They took out one goblin with a simple kick to the face, followed by two jabs to his chest, and then the duo killed a second one by stabbing him through both temples at the same time. Alvi, however, was the scariest to watch. The brunette hedgehog woman may have been a woman of few words, but she was certainly one of much agility. Alvi twisted, spun, and hit her goblin opponent with more body blows than a frickin' heavyweight champion. She slammed her staff into his right kidney before she came back with the other side and smashed his neck from above. Then, while he was dazed, the spindrel woman flipped her weapon vertically and brought it up as hard as she could into his groin. The goblin squealed as she practically shattered his manhood, and then he fell to his knees. Alvi used the opportunity to slam her staff into his face once more, and he collapsed to the ground, bruised and broken, as blood trickled from his mouth and nose. Awara took out her opponent in a flash, too. She used her orange wings to zip over to a nearby goblin, landed in front of him, and then stabbed her collapsed fan blade up through his jaw. There was a gooey-sounding squish as the fan blade's spines erupted through the top of the goblin's skull, and he went limp instantly. Tyrion and Saren both decided to go more practical with their attack. A blast of clear blue seawater shot out from the other side of the battlefield, struck one of the goblins, and sent him up into the air like a rag doll. As he flailed and screamed helplessly, Tyrion swooped by and snatched the fucker up in his jaws. There was a wet snap as the silver dragon's teeth sunk into the goblin's skull, and then he tossed the gray-skinned fucker to the side. That just left the three of us over on this side.
Hey-ya!
Morella declared as she jumped from our hiding spot. Kaelan and I followed her lead, and we both sprang out and attacked. I watched Morella plunge her dagger into an unsuspecting goblin's head, seconds before I lashed out at my own enemy. My sea glass blade slashed down into the little bastard's arm and cut it free from his body with a spray of blood. And as he screamed and feebly attempted to put pressure on his fresh wound, I finished him off by driving my sword through his chest. Kaelan, however, seemed to have some issues with his opponent.
A kid?
The goblin cackled.
You gotta be shitting me.
I turned to see Kaelan attacking the goblin with everything he had. But the little gray-skinned monster matched his agility blow for blow. The goblin ducked, dodged, and rolled out of the way of every one of Kaelan's attacks. And the spindrel boy was just barely able to parry away his enemy's dagger. Ugh, fucking hell, was I really going to have to save this kid? I took a few steps toward the goblin before Kaelan found his footing, dodged to the left of the goblin's dagger, and then brought his weapon up into his attacker's arm from below. The goblin's weapon flew from his hand, and Kaelan proceeded to take out the fucker's legs with his staff. Then the spindrel boy kicked the goblin square in the face as he fell, and the gray-skinned bastard let out a grunt of frustration as he went to the ground.
"So much for kid, huh?"
Kaelan snarled as he held the point of his staff to his enemy's throat.
"Ugh, you couldn't even kill me, you snot-nosed brat! Ugh, what kind of sorry excuse for a warrior are you?"
"One who needs you alive," the spindrel boy continued. "Now, do you want to go ahead and tell us what you're doing with those plants?"
"Nah."
The goblin smirked, and I saw him subtly reach into the pouch on his belt.
"I don't think I will."
"Kaelan!"
I called out.
"Watch out for his—"
Before I could finish my sentence, the goblin produced a small blue vial from his person and hauled back to throw it. Thankfully, that's when Morella's dagger flew across the battlefield and stabbed into his temple. He let out a surprised gasp as my daughter's weapon stabbed into his head, and then his tongue flopped out of his mouth as his body went limp.
Wow,
Kaelan sputtered as he looked over at Morella.
You saved me.
Of course I saved you.
Morella scoffed as she walked over, grabbed the dagger, and pulled it from the goblin's head with a spray of blood.
You might be annoying as hell, but it's not like I want you dead or anything.
Thanks?
Kaelan obviously couldn't tell if that was a compliment or not.
But I was totally gonna get him to talk.
No, you weren't, I admitted as I surveyed the battlefield. That one was willing to die for his cause. What you need is a goblin who's cowardly, one who will do anything and everything to try and save his own skin.
And preferably one who's not smart enough to fight back,
Morella added. Unfortunately, as I looked around, I saw my options were dwindling by the second. There weren't many goblins to begin with, and now they were all being easily dispelled by my crewmates. Then, out of the corner of my eye, I saw a short gray blur as it scurried off into the forest. Ha! Bingo. Ah, that would be our guy, I said, as I pointed at the fleeing goblin. After him! Kaelon, Morella, and I all took off in the direction of the runaway creature. We ran as fast as our legs could carry us, but this little guy was ridiculously fast. He bounded across the maroon forest like a cat on crack as he zigzagged and hopped around in no recognizable pattern. And as we chased him down, we heard the sounds of our crewmates grow further and further away. I didn't know if this asshole was truly running for his life or if he was leading us straight into a trap. Either way, I knew we couldn't keep this up forever.
Oh, he's fast!
Morella panted.
I don't know how we were ever going to catch him!
By improvising, Kaelon announced, and the boy suddenly split off from Morella and me. Kaelon! I called out, as we watched his figure disappear into the forest. Get back here! Your mom is going to kill me if anything happens to you! Ugh. Morella, you're a pretty good shot with that dagger of yours. Do you think you can try and hit him from here?
Not while he's running away like that!
My daughter sighed.
I'm not even sure Ashanti or Gemma could hit a target moving this fast.
We chased the goblin for another minute or so, until the sounds of the battlefield were practically non-existent. All that surrounded us now was the rustling leaves of the maroon forest, and the occasional trill of an insect or tweet of an unseen bird. Though we continued on, every muscle in my legs felt like they were on fire. My heart beat at the speed of a rocker's drum solo, and my feet were practically numb from the exertion that had been put on them. I didn't know how much longer I could go on like this, especially if the goblin didn't lose a step. Just when I was about to throw in the towel, I saw a long, pointed stick shoot out from somewhere in the forest. The goblin didn't see the projectile in time, so all he could do was scream as the weapon stabbed through his leg and sent him tumbling across the ground. The goblin rolled for a solid 20 feet before he slammed into the trunk of a tree, pulled himself up onto his hands and knees, and tried to stand. Ha! He really shouldn't have done that. The second the ugly fucker put the slightest bit of weight onto his leg, he let out a shriek of agony and fell right back down.
You fuckers!
He screamed as Morella and I approached.
You're all dead the second my friends find out you're here.
Really? I raised an eyebrow as I walked up to the goblin and placed my sword at his throat. Because I'd be willing to bet money you'd be dead too, if your little orc buddies knew you cut and run while the rest of your friends got slaughtered.
Slaughtered?
The goblin scoffed, though I could hear the fear in his voice.
Your friends are surely the ones being slaughtered as we speak. Didn't you hear all those horrified, agonizing cries?
Yeah. Kaelon whistled as he stepped through the brush.
Those were all of your goblin buddies. Most of them went down without much of a fight. You'd actually know that if you hadn't run away like a terrified scurryfur at the first sign of danger.
What in the bloody fuck is a scurryfur?
The goblin growled.
It's a prey animal that runs away from even the slightest sound. They are literally scared of everything.
In short, they're pussies. Just like you. Kaelon, take away all the shit on his belt while you're at it.
With pleasure.
The hedgehog boy agreed. With my sword still tight against the goblin's throat, Kaelon knelt down, pulled the creature's dagger out of its sheath, and tossed it off into the woods. He then proceeded to remove all of the pouches that hung around the goblin's waist and searched the monster's pockets for any signs of hidden weapons. Finally, Kaelon stood up and stepped away from our fallen opponent.
Who are you calling a pussy anyways? You're the ones that cheap-shotted me with a spear.
It's a double-sided staff.
Morella corrected.
And I'd say his throw was impressive.
It was?
Kaelon's eyes widened as he looked at my daughter.
Don't get any ideas, bedhead.
My daughter warned.
You made a really good throw, that's all.
I don't know what you think you're going to get out of me. You should know by now none of us will talk.
According to who? I raised an eyebrow at our fallen foe. Is it some stingy stick-up-your-ass code you goblins have? Or is it a decree from the orcs who hold your balls in their satchels?
Fuck you, Dragon King! You might as well just kill me now!
Nah. All the rest of your friends at least stuck around and tried to fight, but not you. You hightailed it out of there the second you saw your life might be at risk. I know a coward when I see one. And you are definitely a coward. You'll talk. Even if it takes a bit of coercing.
Not a chance.
The goblin harumphed.
Well, I shrugged. I guess we'll have to see about that. Hey, Kaylon, I think you might want your stuff back, right?
Of course.
The spindrel boy shot me a knowing grin.
It's my prized possession.
Kaylon took a step forward before he stomped his foot down onto the goblin's leg and grabbed onto his pointed staff. Without hesitation, the spindrel boy then yanked the weapon out of his enemy, which caused the goblin to howl in pain.
You fuckers! You're never gonna get away with this!
I grabbed the goblin around the scruff of his neck, lifted him into the air, and then held him afar as I turned back the way we came. Come on, guys! Let's go see how the rest of our crew is faring. Marilla, Kaylon, and I all dragged the goblin, quite literally kicking and screaming, back toward the spot where the Slaughtertooth had been captured. When we arrived back at the battlefield, my friends all rested against trees, surrounded by the corpses of the goblins they had slain. The Slaughtertooth was still alive as well. The poor thing was growling at my friends as it paced back and forth, though its leg was trapped in the snare.
Kaylon!
Pei gasped when she saw us emerge through the trees.
You're all right. I was worried I might have lost you. Thanks for taking care of him, Ben.
Taking care of him? I chuckled and then winked at the kid. He's the one who took care of us. Thanks to Kaylon's expert javelin skills, we actually have a goblin to interrogate. I tossed the wounded fucker down onto the ground before my friends and he responded with an angry growl.
Oh, thank goodness.
Nadir wiped her forehead with the back of her hand and then pointed at the bloody remains of a goblin.
Because I thought I had messed up the entire mission when I smashed that last one's brains out.
Our captured goblin's eyes widened in terror as he inspected his dead friends, but he tried to remain a tough guy.
Yeah, you're still out of luck, Dragon King. I'm not talking.
Really?
Lazan grinned as she stepped forward and raised a claw into the air.
We'll see about that.
The Kunag woman walked over to the goblin, crouched down, and then stabbed her claw straight into his open wound. Lazan just smiled as the gray-skinned bastard screamed, and then she twisted her claw around even more. When Lazan finally stood back up and took a step back, the goblin's entire body was shaking, and tears streamed down his face.
What the fuck? You're a psycho!
Thank you,
Lazan said with a little bow.
There's nowhere that came from.
Nadir reassured the goblin.
And I assure you, my methods are much less tame than Lazan.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Now we're getting somewhere. I grinned. Let's start with that creature over there. Why do you want it?
The Slaughtertooth? We just wanted it for its venom. It has one of the deadliest bites of any animal on any of the known islands.
I figured as much, but why did you want its venom? What exactly were you going to do with it? The goblin pursed his lips, so I decided I needed to help loosen them a bit. I stomped down onto his wounded leg, drew my dagger, and plunged it slowly into his right shoulder.
I was gonna fucking tell you!
I bet you were. I narrowed my eyes at the gray-skinned fucker. Well, there's no time like the present.
We were gonna cut out all its teeth and then use it to...
The goblin gulped. To? I prompted as I threatened to push the knife deeper.
To make weapons.
He finally confirmed.
We were gonna take it back to the alchemist so he could use it to make weapons.
Weapons for what? For who?
Oh, don't be an idiot, Dragon King. They're made for you and your little band of bitches over there.
Damn. I clicked my tongue. You're really just asking for a beating, aren't you? Now, don't tell me. The orcs are the ones who wanted you to make them. The goblin nodded with a scowl as he tried to hide his pain.
How many weapons do you have?
Mira demanded as she stepped forward.
How many have you made?
How the fuck should I know? I'm just one of the guys who goes out and collects things for the alchemist. He's the one who makes all the weapons.
All the weapons. That seemed to imply there were a lot of them in production.
Ask him about my fire breath.
Tyrion interjected.
Is it ever going to come back, or would I be stuck as a useless lizard for the rest of my life?
One of your little buddies hit our dragon over there with some kind of weird powder. It took away his ability to breathe fire. Is that ever going to come back? The goblin saw the crack in my demeanor, my concern for my friends, and smiled intently. I shut that up real quick with a backhand across his face. The goblin fell to the ground and spat a bit of blood into the dirt.
I didn't even say anything.
You were thinking it. You do a shit job at hiding your emotions. Now, is my dragon going to be okay?
I'll be fine.
The gray-skinned bastard admitted as he rose back to his hands and knees.
Suppression powder only inhibits magical abilities for a few hours, or maybe a full day if you get hit with enough of it.
See? That wasn't so hard, was it?
Why are the orcs making you create such weapons? I thought they prided themselves on taking what they wanted by brute force.
They do.
The goblin shrugged.
But that was before you all started to band together, before they felt they had an actual threat to their power.
Oh, I'm flattered. I smirked. But that doesn't answer the question. What are they doing with all these weapons? What is their plan?
What about the death sprayer?
Sharla snarled as she stepped toward the goblin.
Was our island supposed to be a test run for one of the alchemist's experiments? Was it meant to wipe out our entire race?
The death sprayer.
The goblin pondered aloud.
I'm not sure which one that is, but it sounds like it was very, very successful.
Sharla lunged forward and hauled back her double-sided staff. I quickly wrapped my arms around the hedgehog woman and held her in place, since I was sure she would have killed the goblin. Don't, Sharla, I warned. I know it's tempting, but we need him alive for now.
His friends wiped out our entire race!
The raven-haired beauty snarled.
And he doesn't even know what happened! Our entire race, Ben! Gone because of an experiment that didn't even matter to these things!
I know. I comforted the woman. I know, just breathe, okay? I held the curvy spindle woman in my arms as I pressed my forehead against hers and tried to calm her down. She was breathing in short, panicked heaves, so I hugged her even tighter and whispered a soothing shh into her ear. Finally, after about 30 seconds, her breaths became normal once again, and she let out a deep sigh.
You're right,
Sharla admitted.
It's not like killing him would change the past.
You'll have your chance at revenge, I promised the hedgehog woman. Just be patient. Once we find this alchemist fucker, we'll make him pay for what he did to your people.
Ah ha ha ha,
the goblin mocked.
You really think you're going to be able to make a difference? Do you have any idea how many kings the orcs have killed? Too many to count.
You know, I growled as I released my grip on Sharla and turned to the goblin. There is a very, very slight chance of me letting you live when this is all over. That chance is getting slimmer every time you open your mouth and don't give us more information.
What is it you want, Dragon King? I told you what the creature was, and I told you what we were making weapons for.
Don't try and bullshit me. You never told us what they were for, other than killing me and my friends. Are they just going to get implemented into the orc armies? What the fuck are they planning?
An invasion.
The goblin smiled.
They're going to bombard your home island with every single weapon at our disposal.
White, hot rage boiled up from the innermost parts of my core, and it took every bit of my willpower to not decapitate this fucker right here and now. They were planning to attack the Dragonkin Island again, this time armed with weapons that could weaken our dragons and potentially poison our entire species. Tell me about the alchemist.
Where is this fucker of Mother's hiding? I want to personally kill him myself.
I can take you to him if you'd like, in exchange for my freedom.
You're not exactly in a position to be bargaining, I reminded the gray-skinned bastard. I'm calling the shots here.
Maybe.
He shrugged.
But this is a huge island, Dragon King. If you want to find this alchemist and his workshop, you'll need a guide of some sort.
As much as I hated to admit it, he had a point. If an invasion on our home was imminent, then we didn't have time to waste wandering around this maroon-covered island looking for something we couldn't even identify. All right, I finally conceded. If you take us to the alchemist, I will let you walk free.
Thank you, Dragon King.
The goblin clapped his hands together and faked gratitude.
You are a gracious king.
But if I even get the sneaking suspicion you're trying to fuck us over, you'll be dragon food before you can even hobble half a step.
Oh, I wouldn't dream of it, Dragon King.
The goblin shook his head.
I value my life far too much to be so foolish.
Damn straight. That settles it, then. It looks like we have our guide and our trajectory, so we should probably get going before the sun starts to set.
Hold on! What about this guy here?
The tiny wind dragon slithered over to the slaughter tooth and looked down on him with sad eyes. The beast was now lying silently on the ground and breathing heavily with watery, fear-filled eyes.
We can't just leave him.
Batari agreed.
Look at the poor thing. He's obviously in pain.
Don't be an idiot.
Our new goblin guide warned.
He may look all sad now, but that slaughter tooth will rip us all to shreds the second he's freed from the snare. At least with that kind of venom, we'll all be dead before he gets to any of the ripping and daring.
Ben.
Batari pleaded.
It would be cruel to just walk away from this animal.
You're right. But I don't know what the fuck to do here. I don't want him to gnaw his leg off or anything, and I don't want us to all end up in his belly either.
Let me talk to him.
Valea finally offered.
Perhaps if our auras converse, I can calm him down enough to quell the threat.
Again with the auras.
Shala rolled her eyes.
We could just as easily all hide up in the tree and have Ashanti take out the snare with an arrow.
Valea didn't even listen to her friend's pleas. Instead, the blonde, spindrel woman walked up to the slaughter tooth as close as she could get without being in its striking range. Then she closed her eyes, held out her hand, and began to recite the magic words.
Valmatre, Mertulius, Sinche,
Valea whispered, as her hair became weightless.
Valmatre, Mertulius, Sinche.
As she spoke, the slaughter tooth stood up on all fours and quirked its head to the side. The creature's breathing seemed to relax, as it sat down on its butt like a resting house cat. And then it opened its mouth and released a few concerned clicks.
Holy shit. Is she really talking to that thing?
He is in great pain from the snare,
Valea translated.
I can sense his pain, his fear, his distrust. But I am telling him we are not a threat. I am telling him all we wish to do is help.
Come on, Valea. If you're wrong, this thing's gonna kill us all.
He does not wish us harm. He's just afraid.
It's called a slaughter tooth.
The raven-haired spindrel protested.
That is the name the goblins gave it.
Valea shot back.
The creature cannot help what other beings call it. Now please give me some silence. You're completely disturbing my auras at the moment. Oh.
Shala muttered under her breath.
We wouldn't want to disturb the auras. Quiet.
Errol hissed as she nudged Shala. Valea continued to whisper in her native tongue to the creature, and then she finally opened her eyes. The blonde, spindrel woman held out her hand, took a deep breath, and looked over at the rest of the crew.
I require a dagger,
she asked.
Any dagger will do.
Mira pulled her sea glass dagger from its sheath, handed it to Valea, and then took a long step back. Valea walked toward the slaughter tooth, the creature's body tensed up, and it let out a soft growl.
Careful, I hissed. As my heart sank into my stomach. Please be careful, Valea.
It's all right.
The blonde woman continued slowly.
This is the weapon type of the goblin, so he is naturally a bit nervous.
We all watched with bated breaths as Valea crept toward the slaughter tooth. Soon she stepped beyond the creature's strike zone, and I couldn't help but clench every muscle in my body. The blonde spindrel placed one hand on the creature's body as she continued forward, until she got down to the snare around its leg. Valea took one final deep breath as she pressed the blade of the dagger up against the rope, moved it back and forth across the fibers, and cut it in two. I could feel the tension in the air as the rope snapped, and the creature was let free of the trap.
You idiots,
the goblin whispered under his breath.
You've just doomed us all.
The slaughter tooth looked down at the broken snare, then over to my crew, then back to the snare. It turned its body around to face Valea, and you could hear a fucking pin drop as we waited for whatever was about to go down. The slaughter tooth approached Valea, and in this moment even she looked petrified with fear. Much to my surprise and my relief, the slaughter tooth then proceeded to nuzzle its head against Valea's face.
Oh my god,
I breathed as relief washed over me. I gotta admit, I was really worried there for a second.
You think? I think my heart might have literally just stopped.
The slaughter tooth continued to rub its feathered face against Valea, as she stood up and began to pet it like a dog.
Oh, for something so deadly,
the blonde spindrel observed.
You are quite friendly, but I'm afraid we must be on our way. Go on, my friend. Go off and find the rest of your tribe or pride or whatever you call your people.
Valea motioned for the deadly creature to shoo, But the Slaughtertooth simply looked up at her with big eyes and an open mouth. The creature sat down onto the dirt, quirked its head to the side, and then pawed at the ground before Valea. Errol observed.
I don't think he wants to leave. Go on.
Valea pleaded once again.
We must be on our way.
The creature still didn't move. Instead, the Slaughtertooth stood up and rubbed against the Spindrel Woman's leg like a happy cat.
I think he likes you.
Tyrion chuckled. Did we just gain a new crew member? A crew member that is potentially the most venomous creature on the planet?
That's what it's looking like.
Valea chuckled as she petted the Slaughtertooth.
Oh, he's so grateful he doesn't even want to leave my side. Oh.
Morella cooed, and then my daughter walked over to investigate. Morella got down onto one knee, reached out her hand toward the Slaughtertooth, and scratched his neck softly. The creature responded by closing its eyes and repeatedly stomping its foot against the dirt, which elicited a laugh from my daughter.
If we are going to keep him, he'll need a name,
Valea observed.
Something a bit more kind than Slaughtertooth.
Why not something after one of your legendary warriors of old? That is where I got the name for my daughter? Or perhaps the name of one of your fallen kin?
Mira noted.
It is custom in Dragonkin society to name a new life after the ones that came before it.
Then I shall call him Weyren.
Valea noted with a nostalgic smile.
Weyren? Are you sure?
What's Weyren?
Weyren was a who.
Alvi noted.
It was her father. I think it's a beautiful name, Valea.
Batari reassured the Spindrel Woman.
It is a great name! Lots of strength behind its pronunciation, and the sentimental value makes it even stronger.
Weyren?
Valea smiled down at the feathered creature.
How would you like to come along with us, Weyren?
The Slaughtertooth responded with a happy smile and a few clicks before he rubbed up against his new master's leg once more.
Are you guys always this insufferable?
The goblin's nasally voice grumbled.
Ugh, I think I'm about to fucking throw up.
You know,
Lazan warned as she turned back to the goblin and bared her sharp teeth.
You're talking a big game to somebody who just added a venomous creature to their crew?
I'm not afraid of you. I already know my chances of getting out of here alive are pretty much nil, so at least I'm gonna have a bit of fun with it before I go.
Take us to the alchemist and you can walk away a free man. Free goblin. The deal still stands, and I have always been a man of my word.
Ugh, I know that Dragon King. That's the only reason I haven't offed myself yet.
Ah, that's the spirit. Now, somebody help me get him up so we can carry him. Kaelan and I both took a step toward the goblin before Mira stopped us with a whistle.
Not so fast,
the Dragonkin warrior warned.
Remove your weapons before you help him. I can already see the mischievous plan brewing behind those beady eyes of his.
What? Did you think I was going to wait until they got close, pull their weapons from their sheaths, and then stab them?
The fact that your plan is so specific should answer that question already.
I removed my weapons belt from around my waist and handed it off to Mira, and Kaelan handed her his staff. With our weapons out of the equation, the two of us shuffled over to the goblin, each wrapped one arm around our necks and then proceeded to hoist him into the air. All right, Mr. Goblin, lead the way to the alchemist. The gray-skinned bastard proceeded to direct us further into the forest, far away from anything we'd been to before. And as we moved under the canopy of the maroon forest, I noticed the soil began to change. Gone was the hard, brown dirt of this mysterious island, replaced by a strange, almost sludge-like mud. The trees around us appeared to be sickly, too. Bits of their bark had peeled up like a dead roach's legs, and their pine needles were a faded shade of purple. Where the hell is he taking us? I asked my friends telepathically.
I don't know. But Ashanti's already told me she has an arrow pointed right at his head in case he gets any stupid ideas. I hope he does.
Nadir's voice cackled.
I want each and every one of those goblins to feel our wrath.
Soon, the air around us became filled with a strange smell. It almost smelled like a strange blend of new car smell and synthetic roses, and it made me want to gag. At the same time, the forest thinned out at an even more alarming rate. Several of the maroon conifers had fallen over and died, and many more had been cut down to nothing more than a large stump. The ground beneath us grew even thicker with mud, and I soon saw a large structure looming up ahead. What the hell was that? Was it a mountain? A cave? As I drew closer, however, my jaw fell to the ground. It was a man-made structure the size of a frickin' Amazon warehouse. All of the walls appeared to have been made of chopped-down maroon conifers, placed right next to each other like a pioneer fort. A massive thatched roof sat atop the structure, and there was a tall guard tower on each of its four corners. A small group of goblins stood at the entrance, surely to ensure only their kind went in and out of the building. "What is this place?" I asked the goblin.
"You wanted me to bring you to the alchemist? Well, he's in there."